Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
93 WIBC, it is the Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob Casey's here. And Casey, there is so much drama and, well, quite frankly, needless drama going on here in Indiana on whether Nikki Haley is going to be allowed to run for president in the state of Indiana.
Yes, correct. And it's becoming, there's like subplots that are starting to build within the story.
And it blows my mind because it isn't even going to matter by the time we get here because the Indiana primary is in May and the presidential primary is the same time as everybody else running, and she has as much chance of being viable by then as you or I do, and we're not running. But yet, Jim Banks and Trump and all these people are just totally dug in on Nikki Haley not being able to run for president. In like, they've made it a focal point of their lives.
Now, some people are saying that they think that the Trump camp got incorrect information based on a lack of knowledge, and he kind of went with that. I don't know if I subscribe to that theory. I almost feel like they're using this as a talking point to go forward to say, hey, Nikki Haley couldn't even get on Indiana, which is a true red state.
All right. So there's so much going on. Did she get the signatures in Marion County? Did she not get the signatures in Marion County? I said, we got to cut through all the baloney and we got to bring an expert in who can tell us what's going on. And longtime listeners of this show will know this guy is a friend of the show. He's one of the few people in government I actually like because
He's
very competent. He is the clerk. He's an elections expert, actually. He is an elected official. He is the clerk in Knox County. His name is David Shelton. David, hello.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so you are, you know, you're very competent. You're very fair. In full disclosure, you're a Banks Trump guy, right? So, I mean, we put all that out there. But you're a very fair person. And you say, as of right now, Nikki Haley has those signatures.
She has them just barely here in the 7th District. Last I checked, right at 500, which is the threshold.
Okay. So what do you look at? Because people are going, signatures, what is this? How does this work? This is a great opportunity for us to educate. You have to have 500 verified signatures in all 9 congressional districts to run for president. Is that right?
That's correct.
And what is a verified signature? Can you educate our audience on what in the world even a verified signature is?
A verified signature is from a voter who is currently registered in their county of residency, and the address that the petitioner puts on the form has to match their voter registration as well. You know, people, a lot of people move, they fly by night, move here, move there. And if they put the incorrect address that does not match their voter registration, then those signatures are not counted.
Okay, so John Rust was here yesterday, and he was talking about how he turned in 17,000 signatures, but 11,000 were verified. Where do the signatures get unverified? Is it in Marion County? Like, if let's say Nikki Haley turned in 600 signatures, would Marion County unverify the ones that you're talking about that shouldn't be included? Like, how do they get unverified?
That's how it works out. Yes. You have bipartisan teams that review all signatures, you know, so not one side or the other has a heavier hand. And you just verify that they are currently registered in that county.
So when you say verified, it's actually somebody looking at the signature, matching the name for the address. This is like the 2000 election with hanging chads. People are sitting there looking at every single one.
It's very similar to that. And this is, you know, I'm going to kind of go off the rails a little bit here. This is why paper ballot and hand tabulation can't work, because there's too much room for human error in interpreting all this information. Again, you have to have the name correct, the address correct. We also have the date of birth on those forms, which can be used to help verify if you can't read the writing. But there's a lot open to interpretation. And for the most part, people write really fast. They don't want to be bothered with it.
Sure.
You know, these people at the malls or wherever. And you can't read the writing. Or they'll just simply put incorrect information just so they can move on with their lives that day.
So this is a case where somebody is saying, hey, will you sign this so that I can be on the ballot? Yeah, sure. And they just sign away quickly. Now, you were saying that there was an instance where you believe that Nikki Haley had 502 signatures, but two of them got booted out because it was a relative situation. Tell our listeners about that,
That's what it appeared like. Had a voter with a certain last name, a certain first name, let's say Brittany, who signed the petition. Brittany listed a date of birth that didn't match her voter registration, but the address was, I'm sorry, Brittany had a date of birth that matched a voter registration in Floyd County, not Marion County, but the address that they used matched the same last name. So it looked like they kind of combined two different people, mm-hmm. one from Floyd, one from Marion, and signed it and tried to pass it off as a good Marion County signature. And we were able to, through open source social media searches, find that these two ladies were related and connected on Facebook.
So what do you do with those signatures? Do they count or do they not count?
That one does not count because the name and the address did not match.
Okay.
That is the key right there. If the name and address don't match, you can't count those signatures.
David Shelton is our guest. He is the clerk of Knox County. We're trying to explain to people how convoluted mm-hmm. our statewide election eligibility process is. And this is true not just for president, we're talking about Nikki Haley right now, but this is true for U.S. Senate mm-hmm. and this is true for governor as well. Can we all agree this is the worst way possible to decide whether someone should be able to run for president? Think about the time everyone is wasting.
Looking up on social media if this person is legit.
And it could come down to one signature. I mean, this is horrible. Can we all agree on that?
It could use some tweaking. I actually have a solution.
Perfect.
To this problem.
I'd love to hear it.
All right. So currently people can register to vote. They can change your registration information online at indianavoters.com.
Right.
Your information, your digital signature is inputted from the Indiana BMV. That's how you can do the digital signatures. Why not format that website to accept electronic petition signatures?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to harvest them like ballot harvesting. You would still have to specifically go to a candidate's petition page, and you could sign electronically. That would eliminate any of the guesswork on the clerks. It would decrease the amount of work that the clerks have to do because they would be pre-certified mm-hmm. through IndianaVoters.com.
I love that because this is stupid. And we talked about this many, many times on this show, that you got to have an army of people to go out and get these signatures. It's not, there's some merit to saying, look, we don't, as Abdul said, we don't want our ballots to look like a CVS receipt. But there's got to be something between CVS receipt and this stupid, pointless fight. By the way, you're friends with banks, you're a Trump supporter. Why are they so invested in this? It ain't going to matter. Can you get the insight into why they are so into trying to keep Nikki Haley from being on the Indiana ballot running for president?
I really can't give you any insight in that at all. Me personally, as an election administrator, I'd welcome the competition. I'd like to see a contested presidential ballot in the primary because it would help the down ballot candidates.
What does that mean?
You're just local races, county council, your commissioners. If you have a presidential ballot that's contested, more people are going to show up to turn either to vote for Trump or to vote against him. He's kind of polarizing. I don't know if you've noticed that or not.
I've heard something about that, yeah.
And there's not a whole lot of gray area for him. You either love him or you hate him, and it brings out the voters.
Okay, so you're one of the things a clerk does, for people who don't know, you oversee local elections. So in Knox County, you're the guy who you're kind of in charge of administering elections, overseeing elections. I mean, you have other duties, but that's a major thing, right?
Correct.
And you are, I know you take great pride in, hey, I call it down the middle. It's balls and strikes. If you're in, you're in. You're out, you're out. Democrat, Republican, whatever, I don't care. When you've got the sitting Secretary of State endorsing candidates and declaring them the winner, doesn't that make your job harder? Like when Diego comes out and says, Jim Banks, the next senator from the state of Indiana, and there's likely going to be a primary, don't you and your fellow clerks across the state, because there's 92 of you guys and girls, you got to be going, shut up, just stop, because we're trying to do our jobs here.
It was definitely not a good optic for that to happen. I will tell your listeners that the Secretary of State has no direct influence on how we tabulate votes or anything like that, So that will not sway anything when it comes to tabulating votes on that election.
One other thing we need to mention about the Secretary of State's office.
Yeah.
We've been talking about how he's been touring around the counties and handing out big fat checks and having his name on top of the check like it's coming directly from his own pocket. You are saying that you pay for that money and it's just a reimbursement check? This isn't even free money?
That's correct. We have to pay for whatever project that we're wanting to do and then submit proof of payment for those projects to the Secretary of State's office, and then we get reimbursed.
So
Casey, this is going to shock you. It appears, and who would have thought this, Diego may have an issue with honesty.
Well, it's so it shocking, my shocked face. But it appears what he is essentially doing is touring around the state.
Yes.
Handing out receipts.
Casey, that would, I think you might be getting somewhere with that. And we don't want to subject David to any of our opinions because he's very fair. But real quick, so right now, it is your opinion. Now, this, as they say in pro wrestling, card subject to change. Mm-hmm. But right now, Nikki Haley has the signatures necessary in Marion County pending some sort of new development.
It's subject to a challenge, just like a candidate challenge on down the line. But all petitions had to be turned in for the presidential race by noon on January 30th. However, there is no set deadline for the counties to actually process those other than the noon Friday, this Friday's mm-hmm. deadline to file your candidacy. So it's unlikely that any more are going to be found here in Marion County. When the social media post went out saying that she wasn't going to qualify here, you know, that just turned a magnifying glass on Marion County. At that time, I believe her count was at 433 last Thursday. And the bipartisan teams there in Marion County, they went over everything again and again and again. And it grew to 502. Then they met again Monday, and they had some internal challenges. It wasn't a formal challenge process. But again, with the bipartisan team, they reviewed those challenges and threw two of those out.
All right. We found somebody fair. We found somebody I like.
Yeah.
I always get, you're so mean to these politicians. We found one I like.
Aren't you so special and lucky?
I'm still a public servant.
David, thank you. You're the best.
Thank you.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Minutes after 10 with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch, she has called for an independent outside audit of the FSSA. And that follows that $1 billion Medicaid overspend, error, accounting mistake, whatever we're going to call it. But it has triggered a review of the agency programs.
All right. So Suzanne is going to be here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
10:30 to 11 is what I was told. And that will be a fascinating conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I would guess she is prepared for that. She knows the questions she's going to get. I mean, we're going to ask her about, you know, how would you grade how the governor's done? I mean, we're just putting it out here right now. It's mm-hmm. like she didn't know it anyway. Did you support a million people being put out of work? Did you support tens of thousands of businesses being closed? Did you support Holcomb trying to put people in jail for not wearing a mask? Did you support a VIP meet and greet with a domestic terrorist, Malik Muhammad? Nothing we haven't talked about.
How is she going to separate herself from that administration?
Right. I mean, that's going to be the interview. And mm-hmm. I think she knows she's got to do this because polling shows that she's very clearly linked with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so, because the reason we call her Silent Suzanne is she's been totally silent for 7 going on 8 years now. Is this guy? And if you were against the, I mean, there's two answers here. There are only two answers. Either I was for these things, which, okay, that if that's it, I think we know your campaign is done if she comes in here.
You got to own it
then. And says, I support that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I was against it. And if you're against it, then the question has to be, why did you not speak out? And how do we know then if you were against these things and had the ability to speak out and didn't do it, then why would we think you're going to speak out now? I mean, she knows the questions we're going to ask her. And I've said this many, many times. I worked very briefly for Suzanne Crouch when she was the state auditor, and we were paired together through no fault of either of ours. And it was fine. She was very nice. Suzanne is very nice. I like Suzanne personally,
mm-hmm.
but I have no idea how she's going to answer those questions. I'm sure she's preparing for it, and I like her personally, but yikes. And this is another thing. Everybody knew what Holcomb was doing during COVID. He didn't hide it towards the end. I mean, he kept these emergency declarations going when you had people going to bars and restaurants and football games. And he at the end said, it's because of all the federal money that's coming in. And that money, much of it is going to keep able-bodied people through a legalized vote buying process on insurance rolls that they have no taxpayer funded insurance rolls that they have no business being on. Mm-hmm. And we were looking at that time going, this is insanity. You cannot. The federal money is not going to last forever. The COVID money will eventually dry up. And then once the COVID money dries up, then how are you going to fund all of these people who you've put on the taxpayer-funded insurance program? You can't do it. So how did she not know that?
Yeah, well, and she said that it's really important that the $1 billion accounting error that the FSSA made not be put on the backs of the families and children that it's affecting. So we also need to ask her, what is her plan for that? Where is that money going to come from? On top of the fact that she has announced that she wants to axe the state's income tax. So hopefully, specifically, she will answer these questions.
This interview she does tomorrow will be the most important interview she will do the entire campaign, because everybody will be listening. She knows she's going to get questions that she doesn't get anywhere else. And I think that's why she's coming in to do it. Mm-hmm. I think she knows she's got to answer these questions. I have no idea what her answer is going to be to these things. And the people, like, it's not going to be some screaming match. Our interviews are never that way.
Here's the question. What's your answer? I mean, she's got to answer the question about how she's going to reconcile to restore that Medicaid money. She was asked it the other day. She didn't answer.
And this is the major issue that she has, is no one believes when you spend 7 years supporting one budget after another that grows government in size, in scope, in cost, in taxation, when you are at the very best silent as that's going on, nobody believes you're going to be some slashing spending. I mean, and this is a great example. Okay, you don't want these parents of disabled kids to have their reimbursement cut. Cool. Then where are you going to find mm-hmm. the $1 billion? Mm-hmm. Because you were supportive, or at least silent at best, as Holcomb was doing this. And again, Suzanne Crouch, as the lieutenant governor and state auditor before that, and state rep before that, and a county auditor before that, she should know way more about government than the guy who does the radio show for 3 hours a day. And if I can see that from the beginning and go, this is not going to end well, then how did she not see it? And if she did see it and didn't speak out, this is the problem with her for everything, is either you knew it and you agreed with it, or you knew it and you didn't say anything publicly and object to it. And I'm not sure how you thread that needle.
And neither of those options are very good.
Can I say something real quick?
Are we going to ask her about property taxes?
We're going to try to get through as much. We got to talk to our boss when we get done too, because we're going to have to move some stuff around, because I don't know how we're going to get through all this in 30 minutes. We'll do our best. But I have to touch on something, and we're going to have this woman on Monday. Casey, this is the most incredible thing I've ever seen in Indiana politics that happened, and it's totally gone under the radar.
Yeah.
Jamie Rittenour got those signatures mm-hmm. to run for governor yeah. on the Republican side.
With about 8 cents in her bank account.
Yeah.
So she worked to get those signatures. She did not pay for them.
Now, remember, so everybody's been talking about the big five, right? It's Curtis Hill, it's Suzanne, it's Chambers, it's Doden, it's Braun. Mm-hmm. And this lady, Jamie Rittenour, mm-hmm. who we had on our show
a long time ago,
at the very beginning when she mm-hmm. announced she was going to run, mm-hmm. said, I'm going to run. And we kind of chuckled and said, well, good luck, because it's almost impossible unless you're a hyper-connected politician mm-hmm. with millions in your bank account or super rich like a John Rust.
And she's neither of those.
No, but I was told yesterday by someone, because she got more signatures than Curtis Hill did. She got like 6,000 signatures,
wow.
which is unbelievable,
mm-hmm.
That her grassroots is one of the most powerful things ever. Like, just pure grassroots is one of those powerful movements ever, probably in Indiana politics and government. And she got those signatures. And remember, she told us, she said, God told me I'm supposed to run for governor and I'm going to win. And you know me, I'm an immense believer, mm-hmm. but it was like, well, I hope God told you how you're going to get those 4,500 signatures, because
right.
that ain't cheap or easy. And she blew that out of the water. And everybody should be talking about this. We're going to have her on Monday.
Okay.
Because this is the, I mean, Good on her. That's right. Great that
it
she
is,
got those signatures.
It is exciting, and I hope she's celebrating that as a win, because as I sit here, I don't see her winning the governorship.
Well, but however, we also didn't see her getting the signatures.
Exactly. Casey. So never say never, I guess.
And she is by far, and here is why I'm cheering for her. She is the only person I've seen thus far that has a pulse in this race. Mm. And she is by far the most entertaining of all the candidates.
She also seems to be the one who's got a clear message of what she's trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Don't sleep on
it's
this one.
Interesting.
It's a huge uphill battle. I mean, you've got Chambers and Braun and Doden who are infinitely wealthy, spending millions of dollars.
It is very much a David and Goliath scenario.
But she got those signatures, and that is unbelievable, and nobody is talking about it, and everybody totally should be, because that was absolutely incredible.
Okay, we've got to get to your voicemails, and we will do that next on 93 WIBC.
It's time to hear from you. Kendall and Casey present Voicemails, brought to you by QC Kinetics for non-surgical regenerative medicine treatments at 317-559-PAIN.
If you'd like to contribute, 317-684-8444. It is 10:34 with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So earlier this morning when we first got on the air, we had a conversation about the Republican Party. Of course, we talked about many things. None of these candidates, none of these border bills. And to start off the voicemail segment, we're going to hear from Indiana Joe, who actually lives in Texas.
Oh, that makes sense. Sure.
Absolutely. He wanted to make a comment about the Republican Party.
Hi, Rob and Casey. This is Indiana Joe down in Texas, and listening to your rant about the Republican Party, and I totally agree with you, especially since I read an article last night that one of their primary focuses in Congress is they're spending $40,000 on new lapel pins because they don't like the colors of the old ones. Well, maybe you could stick this in Victoria Sparks' bonnet if she came up with that for a campaign. And I think she should offer up. They want to get an elephant that has Bozo the Clown's head on it. I think that should be the new symbol of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. Have a great day.
Doesn't it seem like any one of them could do so much better if they just stuck to their promise of not spending money?
This is always the thing that baffled me as an elected person, is that if you run on something,
mm-hmm. Do it.
And you win.
Yeah.
You said, I'm going to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember somebody one time telling, because say whatever you want about me, I was the master mm-hmm. at doing exactly what I told people I was going to do. And one time somebody told me I did something, and they said, well, we didn't think you meant it. Well, why would I say it?
Mm-hmm. Because that's what people are used to.
I said it because I'm going to do it. I want you to vote for me knowing I'm going to do this. And so then when I win, I have the mandate to do this thing, which it was working. And yet all of these politicians, they run on this thing and then they win. And then they get in there and go, well, you know, I got to find a middle ground. I got to that. No, you don't.
That's because the donors and lobbyists get their hooks in.
You're 100% right. And it is the reason our show is popular is because people are fed up with this crap. They're fed up with the crap. They're fed up with the Republicans lying to them. I got another message from some guy today. I can't believe that you did blah, blah, blah. Then stop lying. Just tell them to stop lying. Why didn't the Republicans run on, hey, we believe wholeheartedly in the Biden-level spending from 2022, and if you elect us to the House of Representatives, we'll keep all that spending. If that's what they wanted to do, why didn't they run on that? They didn't run on that because the American people don't want that. Mm-hmm. The American people elected them to the House of Representatives to fix the issue. And yet there are people, and it amazes me, who would rather be mad at us for pointing out how you have been lied to and misled by, in this case, the Republicans, than the Republicans who are actually doing the lying and the misleading.
Mm-hmm.
It blows my mind, this tribalism stuff, and people get so wed to these political parties that they will defend anything, including just people who are absolutely fail to follow through on every promise that they make.
So we had we now have at 11:20 every day a new segment.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Good Time Happy Hour with Rob Kendall, mm-hmm. and where you're positive. And we were talking about Pizza King the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And so here is some Pizza King trivia.
So I heard you guys talking about Pizza King, and I wanted to give you guys a little fun fact about Pizza King. Actually, there are two separate Pizza Kings. Most people don't know that. I guess they were originally owned by two brothers or something like that, and they decided to split ways. So that's why some of them have trains and some of them don't. Some of them, you used to be able to get on a little phone and call to the kitchen and order your pizza, and some of them don't. And then some have their mascot or symbol or whatever as an actual, like, cartoonish king, mm-hmm. and some of them don't. And supposedly there's an, you can get on Google or something, and there's actually a map of Indiana, and it shows you which Pizza King company is which, like where their territory is all divided up at. Hmm. So just a little fun fact about what you guys were talking about the other day.
Yeah, they actually touched on that in the article about the guy when he died. And I think what happened, they didn't go into a lot of detail on it because obviously it's a high level obituary piece. But I think what happened was when he sold the original guy, when he sold the Pizza Kings, he somehow formed a company, mm-hmm. with another guy, the guy who bought the company. And that's where the split happened. Again, the article didn't go into a lot of detail on that. Again, it was just a very high level on this guy that passed away. But it was, yeah, I think that's why some of them are different.
I wonder which one's more successful, the Pizza King with the train, the Pizza King without the train.
There is a Pizza King in Avon, mm-hmm. that I used to go to a whole bunch as a kid. I assume it is still there off of 267. Man, Pizza King was the place. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. I used to go there when I was in South Bend, and every time the ratings came out, I would take a couple of the people to the Pizza King, and we would lay out all the numbers in front of us and dissect it. So it was a tradition that we would go to Pizza King afterwards and see how well we were doing. We should do that here, Rob. Every time the ratings come out, we go to Pizza King, and we either celebrate or we drown our sorrows in pizza. Of course, it'll be celebrating.
Look, I realize I am basically, I have basically become old man who yells at clouds at this phase of my existence. But do you find yourself, or have you found yourself, where you look at things that are, and then you think of things that were,
mm-hmm.
and then you recognize the thing that are will no longer ever be the thing that were? Does that make sense? I mean, that's,
yes.
horrible grammar I
yes.
just went through there. But is that coherent?
Yes, I yeah. totally understand. I believe the word you're looking for is nostalgic.
Well, I was, am, was, mm-hmm. are, whatever uh-huh. grammatical tense we're using here, into Bob Dylan music. And that when I was a kid, there was a Bob Dylan's Dream was the name of the song, and it's on the Freewheelin' Bob Dylan album, which is one of his very early albums. And it's all about him remembering his life and his youth and his friends. And the final line of the song is, $10,000 at a drop of a hat, I'd give it all gladly if our lives could be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, you're like, wow, that's, I don't know what that means, but I like that. And now as an adult, I'm like, I totally know what that
I
means.
I get it. So Victoria Spartz earlier this week did a flip-flop, and she previously said she wasn't going to run again. And then she came out this week and said, no, I am going to run again. And so here's another phone call about that.
Hey, Rob, about Victoria Spartz, I really think you need to take some ownership on this one. Because if you remember, she served two terms in the House, and I really think she heard your rant about Bouchon and Pence and their three terms to get the retirement benefits, and I think she heard that, and she felt inspired to get those retirement benefits.
Mm-hmm. That's why she changed her mind.
I love that. Yeah, because what is it? It's got to be, you got to be 62 years old and have served 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
In the House of Representatives, 62 years old, I think,
I
is the number.
I don't think she's there.
No, but I don't, and I would guess the once you turn 62, if you served 6 years, then your thing kicks in.
Okay, so maybe that's why she wants the benefits.
There's, look, if you live in her district, there's no way you can vote for her. Absolutely none. I mean, you got four or five different other options to choose from. You cannot reward that behavior. Mm-hmm. No way, no way, no way, no.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Good morning. It is 12 minutes in front of 11. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Hammer's in the studio. Good morning.
Everybody in here looks so attractive today. Casey got her hair did.
I did.
Rob got his hair cut over here.
So did Kevin.
Well, he's getting ready to go on his European vacation.
Yeah, he's got to look
He's going to be Rusty Griswold in European vacation.
Yeah, I'm trying to look fresh over there.
So all week long, we've got a couple different contests we're doing on our show. We're giving away Barry Manilow tickets, which I think is awesome. And we've also got tickets to give away to go see Luke Bryan.
Right.
Luke Bryan.
And our old producer, Kyle, used to do the most hilarious Luke Bryan impression. It was so bad, it was funny, right? So we decided to have him come by yesterday and record a little bit for us. And we played a game. And I want to have you play the same game, Casey.
Oh, no.
Know your U.S. history with Luke Bryan.
You're making me so nervous.
The caller we had on got 4 out of 5.
Okay. Well,
okay?
80%.
4 out of 5.
That's a B.
Yeah. Right.
Well, our listeners are very smart.
Yeah.
And so are you. You're very smart, very beautiful.
Only when I'm prepared.
Talented woman.
Thank you.
So, let's see how many you can get.
Oh,
Rob,
no.
Before we get into this, over-under set at 4. Will she do better, worse, or push than the caller?
Well, I can't say she'd do worse. I got to work with her, so.
You can say I'll do worse because I have little faith in myself.
I mean, I want you to do worse, but I.
Now,
but I'm
okay, just, we make these questions fairly easy.
Yeah, that's
easy.
What I'm saying. I know the questions you do.
They're going to be like obviously easy,
yeah.
And I'm going to sound really ridiculous.
You try to get people to win, so I'm going to say over. I'll say you'll get all 5.
Okay.
I'm cheering for you to get less, but I think you'll get all 5.
Oh, boy.
Know your U.S. history with Luke Bryan.
Okay.
Question number 1.
I'm Luke Bryan. This man was the second president of the USA. His son later became the president, too. I'm Luke Bryan.
Who are we talking about?
John Adams.
Yay!
One down.
Does it make me a bad partner that I totally thought you were going to miss that?
Did you?
The caller did miss that yesterday.
Oh, no.
It's questionable if I'm going to get any more, honestly.
The caller missed it, but then he ran the table. All right? So
okay.
The hard one, I think, is out of the way, Casey.
Okay.
Number 2.
This is Luke Bryan. On June 6, 1944, the Allied invasion of Normandy happened in Operation Overlord. This special day has been given a nickname. What day is this known as? I'm Luke Bryan.
Luke Bryan, it's D-Day.
D-Day, there you go.
Woo.
We're rolling. See, you're cooking. You're cooking with fire.
You know what's so funny is I even wrote down Operation Overlord on my paper. So I'm thinking about U.S. history, and I thought maybe that would be a question.
I love you're taking notes over here. Like, this is a professor at Harvard or something.
Well,
here.
I told you, I like to be prepared. Okay, go ahead. What's
number 3.
I'm Luke Bryan. I sing country music. The bombing of Pearl Harbor in 1941 saw the United States enter what war? I'm Luke Bryan.
Oh, come on. World War II.
Yes. Yes. You're rolling.
He's so good at that. He's better than actual Luke Bryan. But
I would watch a concert of Kyle doing Luke Bryan. And like, it's better than any cover band. All right. Let's see if you can run the table here.
Okay.
Number 4.
I'm Luke Bryan. Before there was a United States of America, there were colonies owned by Great Britain. Mm-hmm. How many colonies were there? I'm Luke Bryan, and I'm not wearing sleeves. I'm Luke Bryan.
Like the way he keeps saying his name. Luke Bryan. 13 colonies.
13 original colonies.
Okay, so it's tied, right?
Yes. You get one more for the win, okay? You get this right, we're going to throw a celebration.
I'm so proud of myself so far. Go
Question
ahead.
Number 5.
I'm Luke Bryan. John F. Kennedy was shot in the head and died during a visit to what U.S. city? I'm Luke Bryan.
That's so awful. It's Dallas, by
Yay!
The way.
Can we just play him that last clip again just one more time?
I'm Luke Bryan. John F. Kennedy was shot in the head and died during a visit to what U.S. city? I'm Luke Bryan.
Well.
I mean, it's not funny, but...
No, it's not funny. I've actually been there to the, you know...
The book depository?
The book depository, yeah. The grassy knoll, the whole thing.
Can you take... is there like a tour? Is there a museum? Is there some sort of... Where Oswald in the school book depository, is there like a thing you can go up and see?
Yeah, there's a whole tour. It's an audio tour.
Wow, that's crazy.
Have they like kept it like preserved, or have they like changed it around? Do we know?
No, they've
changed
it around.
Does it still look like it did when Lee Harvey Oswald got up there? Like that floor, that
room. Grass does, for sure, outside.
We're talking about this, Casey.
Inside the building, no, it's not.
I don't give two rats ass about the grass, Casey. I hyped you up for getting 5 out of 5 in the trivia. I'm trying to ask you about the physical place where Lee Harvey Oswald was. You're giving me tips on irrigation.
Did you see that people are saying that Brock Purdy looks like him? Lee Harvey Oswald?
Oh, Sean Payton is Lee Harvey Oswald. Let's not get it twisted. Stop right there. Full stop.
This doesn't like a celebration.
Sean Payton is Lee Harvey Oswald, and nobody can change my mind otherwise.
Okay.
Hey, how about those Hoosiers last night?
Look at that. A rare win. And if you're Ohio State, I get it's a rebuilding year, so to speak. But boy, Chris Holtmann, you got swept by Indiana this year.
He looked totally disinterested during that game. I was watching that game and just thought, the coach for Ohio State doesn't seem to care at all. He seems annoyed. He has to be there.
Isn't it refreshing when it's the other team? Isn't it kind of refreshing when you see it on the other sideline? But no, good win for the Hoosiers. And again, John Herrick was great on the broadcast. Fish was phenomenal. And this Saturday, the Hoosiers travel to West Lafayette.
Oh, no.
The point spread is not out yet. If
20.
I had to guess,
20.
It's not going to be that high.
You don't think it'll be 20?
I think it's going to be anywhere from 14. 14, 15. That's my guess.
What do we do with that? I mean, I hate betting against IU, but I think Purdue's going to try to
blow them out.
Right. Yeah.
Especially in their own house where they lost last year.
Yeah. That was that game where Hood Schifino scored a gajillion points, wasn't it?
Right. And Hood Schifino and Trace Jackson Davis ain't walking out of that tunnel right now.
Yeah.
So.
Boy, we got to do something with that. And I don't know what to do with that. We'll see what the line is and then we'll go from
Hat
there.
Hat tip to the Indiana Pacers. I did a little live betting last night and live betting the NBA. This is kind of where it's at. It's almost like you're playing the stock market.
Yeah.
You find a team that you think is going to win, ideally at home. Let them get down early. And because it's the NBA and everybody makes a run, you live bet at that moment. Bada bing, bada boom. We're cashing tickets.
What's coming up this afternoon?
Senator Mike Braun will call in ahead of this weird vote system that they've got going on for the, quote, border bill.
Border stuff.
We're going to get his thoughts on the bill, Mitch McConnell, and everything in between. And Tony Kennett will join us as well.
Thank you. Hammer. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.